Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. Today, we welcome Barry Moniak into the Cigar Lounge. Barry, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. How about you, Joe?
I am absolutely perfect. Glad to be talking to you today. So, Barry, let's start off with a question that is general. Tell me, what do you do?
Well, I guess my title is advisory business consulting. I do my damnedest to help people understand who they are, how they show up, how other people, you know, experience them, and then also take a look at an organization's operational processes to see from an outside perspective, are things moving as smoothly and expeditiously as they could?
Okay, so how did you get involved in this type of work?
It's been an evolution. I was born highly empathic, and nobody bothered to tell me what the heck that meant. So I just thought I was a walking Looney Tune, that at any moment I could have thoughts or feelings or sensations that meant, you know, made no sense to me. And it wasn't until I think somewhere around mid-teens that someone had said, well, when you're having one of these episodes, have you ever looked around to see who you're close to? And I just thought that was the dumbest thing ever. I'm not looking to blame anybody for my condition. I just want to understand what it is and what do I do with it? And he said, hey, it was just an idea. Well, the idea stuck. And sure enough, I started paying more attention, going, how is it even possible to pick up on other people's thoughts and feelings and all of that? And so I started just having conversations with people about who they are and what's going on in their life. And one thing led to another. And so it was what eventually became life coaching and then couples counseling. And then I realized people spend more time at work than anywhere. Well, why aren't we getting some good work done there? If we're going to spend all that time, why not use it as an opportunity to figure out who we are and what's going on? And that became the birth of advisory consulting.
Now, was that okay? So you said you were in your teens when this became known to you or understood. What was your career path at that point? I mean, what direction did you go immediately?
I don't know that it affected my career path immediately, because right. To me, that was like internal personal stuff.
Right.
I was a union carpenter, you know, eventually became a general contractor. I worked in the hospitality industry and in higher end restaurants. So I would kind of bounce around, but it was always interacting with people and projects.
Okay. Well, I mean, carpentry, it was, I guess the wood was safe. The wood doesn't have a lot of emotions.
unless you cut it wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. We all know about that. You cut it wrong, sometimes it takes a finger. So how long were you in hospitality?
Oh, I think I put in about 7 or 8 years.
Okay. What was the breaking point that made you decide to start your advisory business?
I actually had become the owner of a company that helped small businesses present themselves for sale by owner.
Okay.
So you had to go in and figure out, okay, if we're going to put a price tag on this, what would it be? If somebody from somewhere else, you know, another state, another country was going to buy your business, why would they want to live here? And people started saying, well, Barry, I seem to understand my business better now after talking to you than I ever did before. And I'm like, well, thank you for the compliment, but I don't have an MBA. I'm not some business wizard. Why would you say that? And they said, well, you broke it down to all its component pieces and then put it back together in a way that made more sense. And I'm like, I'll be damned. I'm still playing general contractor. If you know anything about, you know, the building world, you know, you show up to a piece of dirt with a big roll of plans, and inside that it starts telling you layer by layer everything that needs to happen. And there's a sign off for every one of those layers. That became my internal language well, let me break this business down to all its component pieces and see, well, what needs to happen before the next thing. And I guess explaining it to people in that way, it's like, wow, this is starting to make more sense.
So do some of your clients end up staying in their business rather than moving on?
Well, that was the other interesting thing, is I would say the greatest majority of people who want to sell their business, what they really want is to sell their headache.
Right. Exactly.
And once we, you know, and they'd say, oh, well, how, I would ask, Joe, what do you think your business is worth? I think it's worth $1 million. Okay. We get in there, dude, it's worth $200,000-$300,000 on a good day. So, you know, where you came up with $1 million, you're factoring in sweat equity and all these other things, but in the open market, no, nobody's going to write you a $1 million check. Now, so if we were to spend a few years, we might be able to get it to there. Is that something you're interested in? Okay, yeah, what do we need to do? Well, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, Joe, your business is ripe for market. Let's put this thing up. Well, I don't want to sell it now. I love my business.
So I was going to say, so emotionally, I guess I want to say initially you were the reality check that told them they weren't getting rich fast. But then in doing so, you emotionally bonded them back with their business. Yeah. So that's awesome. Very nice.
Why don't we get rid of the headache and get you back into your sweet spot? And
well, so as you sit here now looking back, and you said in your teen years, you found out you were a bit of an empath, and you look back now today, what do you think you would have done if you knew today, if you knew when you were 16, what you know now, what would you have done differently?
I probably would have found a mentor, someone who, you know, was working with the same kind of proclivities that I was, to help guide me rather than me beating my head against the wall trying to figure stuff out.
Okay.
I mean, there just weren't books on the shelf to tell me, how does a person like me succeed in life?
Well, there's no books to tell any of us really how to succeed. If you went through this process and now you decide you're going to be an advisor, you're done being a contractor in hospitality, did you find a mentor to start you off?
You know, it wasn't until I joined NSA, the National Speakers Association, some, 18 years ago, that I found people who had at least some of what I had going on. They were sensitive or intuitive, or, you know, they had this idea that they wanted to help people, you know, in some way, shape or form. And it was like, oh, these are people that I can have a more impactful conversation with, where I could walk away with some useful, you know, tools. And that's what drew me ultimately to the cigar peg, is for people who aren't too familiar about NSA, there's a lot of people who know stuff. There's a lot of people who think they know stuff. But when I came to the cigar peg, it was actually people who did know stuff and were willing to share some of that information. And I'm like, oh, I think I found my people. I think I found somewhere where I can get my own reality check. You know, am I up in the night about something, or is there a different way of approaching something that could get me better results?
So you found your tribe.
I found a tribe of people. Yeah.
So who in your career would you say, and realizing everybody was involved along the way, who would you say was your biggest supporter or mentor?
You know, even though I haven't spent a lot of time with him, I would have to say Alan Weiss.
Okay.
That his perspectives on consulting, you know, what is that actually, and how do you approach it intelligently? It gave me guidance to true my own mechanism.
And so Weiss, what other resources helped you get where you are now? What other resources did you find useful in building your advisory business?
You know, a little bit of you know, neurolinguistics. How does the brain literally process information and experience? I got a lot out of group dynamics. Okay, so now that we know how individuals process that, how do groups of people, and the whole thing of people who are more credible or more relational, and those that could put it together in a way to create charisma And those became the most effective leaders, that they had the credibility and the relatability. And I'm like, oh, this is good stuff. Now I kind of know where I'm aiming and how am I helping other people. That was a big piece for me.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask you this. So you run into someone who is younger and you meet them and find out they too have that empathic ability that you speak of. They have the ability to, I want to say, feel the people around them and they don't understand it. What advice would you give them looking back on your life saying, here's what I want you to know about that and here's what you should do? What would that advice look like?
I think that the first and foremost thing is don't take what you're experiencing personally, because it's not you. You're picking up on someone else's something. So just to keep that in context, oh, I'm picking up on something from you. Well, now how well do I see it, understand it? Can I interpret it? Can I have a conversation with you about it? But it's not me. I'm just a sounding board that could possibly help you.
And
for years, I thought I was batshit crazy. I just like, dude, you.
Well, and Barry, maybe you are, and that's why we love you. You know, it doesn't mean.
Is that where this is going?
Well, I was going to say, aren't we all? I mean, that's you know, let's face reality. Yeah, we are your tribe, Barry. So we can't be that close to normal, really. We're your people, man. So what is the everyday source of inspiration or motivation for Barry Moniak?
It's literally to keep moving and keep helping.
And
because if I'm not moving, I can't help anybody. And if I am moving, doing things for my own gain doesn't, you know, resonate for me near as much as helping someone else take a step forward. I think that's such a lack in the human condition is people just, they don't want to help one another.
Sometimes they don't know how to help one another.
Or, yep.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. And I know you say you got to keep moving, but there has to be days when you feel stuck, days where you say, hey, I don't know what to do next. How do you pull out of the rut? Well, what is it you do to get unstuck?
Well, there's a couple of things, you know, like exercising, maybe going, taking a walk. Part of the reason I moved to Utah was to have access to mountains and trails that I can hike and bike and ski in the winter. That helps me get my head screwed on straight. But probably the most effective is I'm fortunate enough to have a coterie of friends and associates that, depending on what I'm stuck in or struggling with, it's like, you know what? I should call Joe. A 5-minute conversation with Joe would probably get my head out of my butt quicker than just about anything. So, or Ed, or,
right.
And it's amazing how just knowing that I have that, you know, available to me already makes me feel a little better. Like I'm not all alone. I'm not totally stuck. I do have resources.
And you've surrounded yourself with people who aren't afraid to be human.
And to talk to me for real, you know, yes, not to just, oh, Barry, you're fine. It's going to be okay. Don't you worry about it. It's like, yeah, that's not helping. No, Barry, you're looking at this wrong. You know, come over here and look at it from this angle. Oh, that does make a difference. Okay, thanks.
Well, okay. So now you said you joined NSA, I think you said 18 years ago. How long ago did you start your advisory business?
It was actually functioning to some degree back then,
right.
But it wasn't until, like I say, that I crossed paths with some other people who were doing this as a profession that I went, oh, I need to take this more seriously.
Okay. And back when you were just starting and you weren't taking it seriously, looking forward, what was your definition then of success?
I guess it kind of would go along with that Zig Ziglar philosophy that, you know, if I can help other people get results, that in turn is going to help me. So and then it was like, okay, so if that's my umbrella, then can I be more specific? And I think that's where a lot of the feedback helped me. Well, Barry, if you want to help people, who are the people you could help the most? Have you even defined that? Or are you just saying I could help any human being? Well, I would like to think that, but no, that's not reality. So there's certain people that I could be of more beneficial, you know, use to than others. Oh, let me start focusing in on that.
And in all this process, do you think now that you are successful? Do you think you've achieved your definition of success?
I think I'm more successful than I've ever been. And now I can see, you know, in the future how much more successful I could be. So like when you said, if I could start over again, if I could go back 20, 30, 40 years and recalibrate the lens, wow, I could have been much further along by now.
And tell me, what would you have recalibrated? What would you have changed?
Identifying who are the people who I could be of best service to, rather than, oh, you need help, I can help.
So you would recalibrate the lens to focus on a specific niche, a niche market.
Or niches, but at least
yes,
people where I have a confidence that I can get some good work done here.
Good. Have you ever thought about giving up?
You know, I in a past life, I had thought about that and came to the realization, I guess I'm just not wired that way. I'll keep doing what I'm doing until my last breath. So my only option is, am I enjoying the ride? Am I getting any better at it? Or am I just taking laps around the track until I'm done? So it's like, no, that's my idea of mastery. It's not a point of accomplishment. It's a state of ongoing improvement. I like who I am. I like what I'm able to do. And I like that it keeps getting better and better. So I look back and go, wow, I remember working with you 10 years ago. And here's the advice or the analogies I gave you. If I had that session to do all over again, I could be much more laser focused to help you more readily, which would have made me feel good. That kind of dynamic.
What would you say? Okay. I guess I want to ask, if we look at you and we know that you're dealing with people, and I want to say feeling them, you are emotionally connected to your clients. Is that a safe statement?
Yes.
Okay. What would be the biggest mistake that you think you've ever made in terms of feeling a client wrong or sensing a client wrong? Have you ever made a mistake in that area?
Yeah, because I guess who we are, how we're wired, right. I interpret everything through my computer system.
Absolutely.
Oh, Joe's saying this, or he's up against that. And okay, what does that look like, sound like, feel like to me? And then I'm giving feedback like as if I'm talking to myself. And it's like, oh, I had to develop what I coined a dual monitor approach to working with people. One monitor is me and everything about me that I know or like or I'm comfortable with. But if I'm going to work with you, I need to create a blank monitor and go, well, who are you? How do you look at things? How do you process things? So if I'm going to give you advice, it's from a perspective and in a language that you might actually understand.
Well, and can you, I guess that's what I want to hear is a description of a situation where, you know, we all, even if we're feeling someone's emotions or we're sensing how someone's behaving, or we think we know how someone is operating in business, every so often our biases get in the way and we make a bad judgment call. So I'm asking you, like, one big one that you made where you think, oh my God, if I could have done that one situation all over again, what was that?
What comes up for me is I very much operated under the impression that my languaging of something is what enables me to see something a certain way, to be effective in a certain way. So if I can teach you my language, then you too can have the results I'm having. So that was my model. And so the big aha was, that's pushing snowballs uphill in the middle of summer. What, why am I trying to get you to learn my language? Why don't I flip the script and try to learn your language and put whatever it is that I think I know or I'm on about into a language that you will more readily understand? Oh, now we can get some work done here.
Well, and when that happened, I guess that's what I'm looking for, something specific, which is a client where that occurred with and you had to change direction. Can you recall a time that that happened?
Multiple, where I have to sit with,
pull one out of myself
and go, okay, I'm working with this client who he's the Energizer Bunny.
Right.
Go, 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 go. And so I'm constantly trying to put the reins on him just enough to understand what he's setting into motion before he goes running off to the next thing, because then things get neglected, which can hurt a business. You don't want to set something into emotion and then ignore it.
Right.
Well, for me to try to get him to understand my construction metaphor of, you know, you build things sequentially, I had to get more into his line of thinking to go, okay, how can I help him circle back? You want to run, but let's circle back to what we already set into motion. How are we doing on that? Oh yeah, I forgot all about that. So it was like, oh, for you, we got to come up with a different model of how to stay on top of what you're setting into motion so that it makes sense to you and that you'll make good on it. Well, as soon as he got that, he was like, dude, you just changed my whole reality.
Got it. That's
cool. Awesome.
That's what I'm looking for. Beautiful, beautiful. So I'm going to ask a question that I think I know the answer to, but in your opinion, what is the most crucial personality trait that allows you to do what you do and thrive?
I would say that it has a lot to do with, there's certainly an intent. My intent is to show up like a quality human being. More so than that is congruency, that what people have told me that makes me feel good about myself is no matter how long it's been since they've seen me last or in what context they saw me last, I seem to show up as the same guy.
Okay.
And there's other people that depending on when you saw them or where you saw them, it's almost like a different persona.
Yep. Yep.
They said, Barry, you're just always the same. And that makes us feel like we can trust you. We know what we're getting.
And based on everything you said, I'm just going to make an assumption that the one tool in your toolkit that you always bring with you is empathy.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's assume for a moment that someone's listening to this and they wish they could be more empathetic. What advice could you give someone to help them cross the line and become more empathic?
Well, I think there's a whole lot of people. I think there's more people who are empathic than realize that that's what they're dealing with.
Yep.
So that's one thing. In school, they never talk to us about that. So how are we supposed to know? So being okay with what you're picking up on is one thing. But for people who aren't so empathic, that's where the dual monitor analogy came in. If you just start posing the questions, the human brain is an awful lot like Google, right? You type in a search to Google and it starts getting you information. All I've got to do is pose a question. Well, who do I think Joe is? How do I think Joe deals with things? You know, what do I really know about Joe? My brain will literally start going to work. Well, what about this? And what about that? It'll start pulling in information. So for anybody who's in a position where interacting with other human beings is part of what they do, if they just started asking those questions, who is this person or these people that I interact with, whether I manage them or sell to them or do life with them, who are these people? Not just what I think, but who are they? You start picking up on tidbits of information, and the more you get, the more quality of a connection you have.
Beautiful.
I don't have to like you, agree with you, you know, any, but understand you. If I want to interact with you, yeah, that's pretty important.
Absolutely. Very good, Barry. Thank you. Let me go into just I want to say this as we get ready to wrap up here. In your world, I don't know if you work on a notepad, a computer monitor, or a whiteboard, but I'm assuming there's something big that you have decided you want to achieve in the next couple of years, maybe a new initiative, something like that, that you haven't tackled yet. Can you tell us what it is?
I used to think that it was working with larger organizations. For some reason, I had bought into that. Well, if I can get into those big box entities, you know, and then I realized that they have degrees of difficulty that they may never overcome or deal with, because there's just so many people to try to. It's like a big boat in the ocean. They don't come around too easily. So what I think of is helping the younger people who are going into business and into life, like you were pointing out earlier. If there's something about what I've already experienced, accomplished, paid for, you know, with life dues or money, if I could expedite their process to where they could get to a better place more quickly, more easily, yeah, that would make me feel like, okay, that's a legacy that I can pass on. It may not be necessarily somebody taking over my company business, but to know that I helped a number of people, because the people that I help inevitably become people who want to help other people as well. So it has this self-maintaining aspect to it. I think that would put a smile on my heart.
Nice. Let me ask you this, just a wrap-up thing here. Number one, if anyone in the Cigar Peg wants to reach out to you, what is the best way to find Barry Moniak?
Barry at Barry Moniak is the email. BarryMoniak.com is the website. And there they can find out all about me and my relationship with fear and why my moniker is Fearless Leadership. So, yeah, there's a wealth of information to be found.
And one closing question. What do you want people to say about you when you're gone?
I really liked him. He was a really cool guy. I enjoyed spending time with him.
Well, good answer, Barry. And let me say, you were a lot of fun. You're a really cool guy. And I love spending the last half hour with
likewise,
you.
Likewise, Joe.
So,
likewise.
Brother, we're going to say goodbye and wrap this up. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Barry Moniak in the Cigar Lounge. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.